just so hot, middle of the day, and I have got some to tell you which is phenomenal. I have never had an experience like it before in my whole life. So, do you know, I have a bit of a background. I'm not very proud of it, I have to say. So sometimes I go like this, incognito, so people don't see me. Anyway, this day, middle of the day, as always, I went to get some water from the well. Really, the hottest time of the day, can you believe it? I don't really want to meet the other women, they're not very fond of me, to be honest. So anyway, I went to the well, and would you believe it, there, sitting at the well, was just one man, and he was a Jew. And then, I'm a Samaritan, by the way, he said, can I have a drink, please? And I'm like, what? Really? You're speaking to me, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Jews just don't speak to Samaritans. Never. So anyway, I was just thinking about what he said, and then he says, if you knew who I was and the gift that God has for you, you would ask me for some living water. I'm like, what? What is he on about? This well is way deep. He's not got a bucket, and he's got no rope. How is he going to get water? I mean, come on. Is he greater than Jacob, who dug the well in the first place? What is he talking about? And then Jesus said, if you drink that water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you come to me and drink the water I give you, it's going to bubble up inside. There's going to be a spring giving you eternal life. And I thought, wow, yes, please, I want that. No more trips to the well. That would be amazing. Tell you what, oh, wow, can't believe I'm in on this. And then Jesus said, go get your husband. I'm like, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right. You've had five, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. I'm like, oh, no. How did he know that? I have never seen this guy before in my whole life. And here he is, he knows all about me. Getting a bit hot here under the collar. He's obviously a prophet. Time to change the subject. Mm-mm. No, not going to talk on that side anymore. So I say to him, you Jews say you've got to worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans say Mount Gerizim. So which is it? You're a prophet, you can tell me. Anyway, so then Jesus says, actually, it's not about where you worship, it's about how you worship. Because the Father wants you to worship in spirit and in truth. And then I said, this is complicated. I don't really understand it, but we're waiting on the Messiah. We've been waiting hundreds of years for the Messiah, and when he comes, he's going to explain it. He's going to tell us exactly what's what. And then Jesus dropped a bombshell. That was his name. I found out, by the way, never heard of him before. He says, I am the Messiah. What? The Messiah on our doorstep? No way. Well, anyway, his friends all arrived. And I thought, I better make myself scarce, better head on, because they looked so shocked. What was Jesus doing talking to a Samaritan woman? And not a very good one at that. So I hiked it, and I came back to tell all of you. And do you know what? I think he's still at the well. If you hurry up, we can go see him. And then you can see for yourself. I think he's the Messiah. But you need to hear for yourself. Come on, grab a bucket. And you can get some water when you're there too. Talking today about stopping for the one. Jesus was really, really tired. This story, by the way, is in John chapter 4, and when you go home, you've got some homework, I want you to read it. It's verses 1 to 42, all right? So Jesus was deadbeat, and he sat at the well, and the point being, he was still interested in just one person. Now, this is the same Jesus that had big crowds following him all the time. He was so, so busy. But he had time to stop for one person. If it had been anyone else, they might have been saying, what if someone sees me talking to this lady? not looking good. But Jesus didn't think that way. Jesus thought, this lady is of great value. I'm going to stop for her. I'm going to make time for her because she needs me. She needs me. And you know, the thing about it is that we have a story to tell. All that lady was doing was telling her story. She was telling what had just happened to her. And she was inviting other people to come and see. And we don't have to be any great preacher. We've all got a story of what Jesus has done for us. And we've got hope to give to people. And that life can be different. So we're going to focus on us stopping for the one as well to share Jesus. So we can think in advance and think, what has God done for me? Or what has God done for someone that I know that can share with someone when I get a chance and give them some hope that things can be different for them? People always like to hear stories. So if we could put up the first one here, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I'm hoping it's gone up. Okay, when somebody is dying, right, their very last words are the most important. They want to say the most important thing at the end, so you tend to remember. So Jesus, just before he hiked it, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Now, not everyone is going to stand up here, so don't worry about that. And it's not just a go-to for the disciples, it's for all of us. And he's just saying, go ahead, tell people gossip. Gossip about what God has done for you, all right? So can we look up 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, please? It says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So when he tells us to go and tell people the good news, that should not be a burden. And in my experience, it actually brings lots of joy. It brings lots of joy. So how many commandments were there given in Exodus? 10, okay? How many commandments did Jesus summarize them to? Two. One was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, with all that you are. Now, if you really love somebody, you care about what they care about. Isn't that right?
Yeah?
So if we really love God, really love God, we care about what he cares about, yeah? And why did Jesus came? He came to seek and save the lost. So people that are lost are high priority with God. Very, very important. Because Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. So heaven and hell are very real, and it's one or the other. So the second command was, love other people just the same way we love ourselves. So if we know that people don't know Jesus, then if we love them enough, we'll be worried about where they're going to be going eternally, and we'll ask God for an opportunity to share Jesus. This morning when I was walking the dog, a verse came to my mind which kind of fits in. It says, it's from Isaiah 26, verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Now here's the bit. Your name and your renown is the desire of our hearts. So we should want to make his name famous. And we should want to honor his name. So the question is it enough to just live a good life and be a silent witness? Because that would be easier, wouldn't it? So let's look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, please. Okay. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So we have a responsibility. So I'm going to go back and let's see how Jesus did it, okay? Jesus, how he stopped for the one. So the first thing was he chose to talk to this lady on a one-to-one basis. Because this lady wouldn't go in a crowd. She was too embarrassed of her past. She wouldn't go in a crowd. Talking in a one-to-one with someone means that that person's more likely to be open and honest and maybe a bit more relaxed as well with you because nobody else is watching, okay? The second thing is, how did he open the conversation? What did he first ask? Can I have a drink? Well, that's really natural, isn't it? Yeah? And then he started to talk about water, about being thirsty, things that she could relate to. So sometimes, well, usually, if we want to start a conversation with people, we just don't dive in straight away about God. We start with something natural, so they feel relaxed. And if they seem to be responding warmly, there might be an opportunity to then bring God in. That's what Jesus did, because she responded to that. And he says, brought God in and said, God's got a gift for you, which is living water. So the other thing that Jesus did was, you know, like lots of people, they get on with their lives, they don't really think about God. And if you ask them, some of them are like, I'm a good person. You ever heard that? I'm all right. I'm going to hell. I'm heaven. Whoops. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven and I don't need anything else. I'm just happy living my life as it is right now. Okay? But God says that the law is a tutor in Galatians to bring us to Christ. So what did Jesus say to this lady that might have gently prodded her conscience? Anybody pick it up? He said, where's your husband? And then he says, you've had five. So what's the commandment relating to that kind of behavior? Anyone know? Should not commit adultery. But Jesus was so kind and so gentle and so gracious. He wasn't judging her. He wasn't avoiding her. He wasn't putting her down. And he wasn't doing it to remind her of all her failures. He wasn't doing that. He was really gentle. So sometimes, if people say, oh, I'm really good, then we say, can we test that? And then, how about, let's look at a few of the commandments. Have you ever told a lie? And if they say, yeah, well, they've broken one command. And if you're in a court of law, and you've had a speeding ticket, and you say, but judge, I took an old lady across the street and I gave my neighbour some flowers and I haven't killed anybody. Would I get off?
No.
Because I've been guilty. Isn't that right? So we are all guilty, all of us, not just one, all of us. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. Mm-hmm. He paid the price for us. So that if we believe that he died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead, and if we accept him into our lives, we can be saved and we don't have to go through the punishment. So what was the outcome? I haven't told you what the outcome was of this little lady doing her wee bit and telling her story. Basically, practically the whole village turned out. They all turned out to see what's going on and find out more about this guy that she thought was the Messiah. And they said to her, well, we first of all believe because of what you say, and now we believe for ourselves, because they looked into it. So if she can do it, if she was qualified to be a witness, we are too. We don't have to be anybody special. Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. That means that contrary to popular opinion, there's lots of people out there really want to hear about Jesus. Yeah. They really are desperate for that hope in their lives. So knowing that, we can step forward. And if somebody isn't interested, that's okay. Somebody else will be. And all we're asked to do is just plant little seeds, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and where I've come from in this. So, quite a lot of years ago, I had two really big shocks, all right? I lived in this cul-de-sac, and two people on that cul-de-sac decided that they didn't want to continue with their lives anymore. And I was devastated. And I thought to myself, I never told those people about Jesus. And it's too late now. It's too late. I was absolutely shattered. And I realized, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And we should always have that heart asking God, please, would you create opportunities? Please, would you give me boldness? Please, would you help me know what to say? So, and I have to say, God says that we've got a responsibility and we'll have to answer to him as well. So it's not heavy because it's God that helps us, okay? So, but it brings me lots and lots of joy. Paul can tell you that. Isn't that right, Paul? If I get talking to someone that wants to hear about Jesus, I feel so good inside. And I think that's because Jesus likes it and he shares his joy with us. And the very best thing is if they decide to follow Jesus. Then I'm like, oh, I just want to tell everybody about it. I'm so excited. So I want to just give you three little examples of times. So there's one guy. So one Saturday recently, that the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, just check on your house insurance. Might be due soon. So I checked up on it, and guess what? It was due that day. Thank you, Jesus. So I rang up, and I thought, I better get on with this and, you know, get the insurance done. So I rang and sorted that out, and then the guy says, and is there anything else? And initially I said no, and then I thought, oh, yes, there is. Could I pray a blessing over you? And he says, oh, yeah. Yes, please. My life's a bit of a mess. So I prayed. Amen. And then we got into the most amazing conversation about God. And he was saying, this is amazing. You've made my day. I'm going to tell everyone about this conversation. And guess what? He was a 27-year-old Muslim man.
Wow. Praise God.
And I just... Yeah, we pray that God will meet him. And I said, you know, you can get a Quran and a Bible and put them side by side and ask God to tell you which one's the truth and see which one satisfies your heart. But what a privilege, and I nearly missed it. Nearly missed it. So thank you, Jesus, for that one. And here's another one, right? I was walking into a shopping centre and it was raining. Good old Scotland. And this lady in front of me, beautiful young lady, and she had her umbrella up, and her mind was somewhere else, so she walks into the shopping centre with the umbrella up, you know? And we're going along a little bit, and then she realises, oh no, whoops, I got my umbrella up inside. So she looks around a bit sheepishly like this, and I'm right behind her, and she smiles and she puts her umbrella down. So I just had a bit of a laugh with her, and I just said, oh, got chatting, and I still think God must have wanted us to meet, and I got talking to her a bit about God. And we actually exchanged phone numbers. And she's just recently, that was a couple of years ago now, and she's just recently started to do an Alpha course.
Come on.
Oh, so yeah. She's still on the way, she's still on the journey, she's not quite there yet. But that was a sort of like a chance encounter, but God plans our footsteps. And then another one recently, I was in the park with Paul, and we were talking to this lady I'd never met before, just in the ordinary conversation, and it came up that her husband was very ill. So I picked up a bit of courage and I asked her if I could pray for her husband. And she says, oh, would you? Oh, yes, please. She says, I'm a lapsed Catholic, you know, and I'm not a believer anymore. But, and she took both my hands. And she was just like, you know, really eager to receive prayer. Now, that was only a little thing. But you see, all we're asked to do is just a little thing. Yes. Just a little thing, you know, and... So all of these conversations started very naturally. Do you know what I mean? I didn't just dive in, okay? God opened the doors there. I want to tell you a story that really has helped me to understand a little bit about ways to witness and maybe ways not to witness, okay? Because if we sugarcoat the gospel, that can be a big problem. Yeah. So imagine you're in an aeroplane, right? Okay? And someone gives you a parachute. and says, put this on, it's going to make your ride a lot more comfortable. It's going to help you in the end. So you put this big parachute on, it's very heavy, very uncomfortable, and then people start looking at you and laughing and pointing at you. Look at her wearing a parachute, you know, how silly is that? So you take off the parachute, you feel all embarrassed, you think, that is it. It did not make the ride more comfortable. I'm done with parachutes, right? And you're pretty annoyed at the person that told you about the parachute in the first place because it didn't make the ride more comfortable. If instead you said, here's a parachute and the doors are going to open any minute and you're going to need that parachute, keep it on you. So you'd put it on and you wouldn't want to take it off. Even if the waitress spilt some boiling water over you, you'd be like, no, I've got my parachute, I'm all right, that doesn't really matter, I'm safe. Even if something happens, I'm safe. So just like that, we need to be careful that we say there is a cost to following Jesus. There will be hard times. It's not just all joy and peace and flowers, and you know, there are hard times. So we're not very brave, are we? A lot of the time. Hands up for who's brave all the time, not me. Anyway, here's a wee thing. You can start with tracts. If you get little tracts and you get a library book, you could put it in the library book, couldn't you? Or you could put it in the bus seats. Just if you have something in your pocket, you never know when you might need it. Do you know what I mean? So if we look at Luke chapter 15, verse 7. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So it's Jesus says that all of heaven rejoices with even just one person coming to know him. And we may just be a part of the way. Not everybody becomes a Christian straight away when we witness to them, but we can just leave that with God. So do we have Matthew 28:18-20? I can't remember if I put that on the list. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of this age. So God is looking for disciples, people that will obey all of what he says. He's not looking for just tick-the-box decisions, put a passport in your back pocket for heaven. He's not looking for that. And this morning again, the verse came to my mind and it says, these people, some people, honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is really, really important. Some people think that they're a Christian because they've said a prayer and then they go and live their life however they want. But that's not how it goes. Because if we really love God, we'll obey him. But he's so gracious and gentle. We get it wrong all the time, but he forgives us and he gives us a clean sheet. He doesn't hold it against us. It's just so, so good. So we're not on our own doing this. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we can even ask him to give us boldness. We can ask him to give us the words to say. We can ask him to open the doors and give opportunities like he gave to me those times. Good news should not be kept to ourselves. All right? Life is meant to be an adventure with God. So let's not miss out. But instead we should say, what's next, Papa? And we will be looking forward to hearing about your divine encounters that he brings your way. So what are we waiting for? Let's go and stop for the one.